Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. All right. So hi, everyone, and welcome back to Teacher Tales. I am so excited and grateful that you're here. And I think that you're going to have a wonderful story here today with a friend of mine. I've taught with her. I've known her a long time. And she actually made a big difference in my career. And I'm going to talk about that as soon as she introduces herself and kind of bring that up and see what she, if she remembers this impact that she had on me. So go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Adrienne Gent. I'm a teacher here at West Shore Junior Senior High School. I've been teaching here since 2000, but this is actually my 29th year of teaching school. And I have taught everything from 7th to 12th grade and currently am the senior project coordinator at West Shore and also teach 10th grade honors English.
Okay, yes. So a long career, and I admire you so much for hanging in there, especially through the pandemic, and also taking on senior project. We're going to talk about that and how unique, but also very special it is for schools and for students. But I want to talk about the impact that you had on me first, and then you can tell us a little bit about how you why you became a teacher and stuff. So I remember back when we were teaching together, I had had a very low point and I was ready to quit teaching. And I had been in teaching for 20 something years, but it was just one of those years that all of us teachers have that we just can't seem to recuperate and get up off the ground being face planted, you know, and even get back on our knees. And I told the principal that, you know, I'm turning in my letter of resignation, and the word got out in the school. And I remember you were the, and we would see each other, you know, at school and everything, but, you know, we all stay in our classrooms and are isolated. But I remember you storming in and you were like, Linda Markley, I don't think so. You cannot leave teaching. And here's why. Da, 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 da. And you gave me the greatest pep talk and just said all the right things that just lifted my spirit and made me not quit teaching. And I think that's so critical that we need to do that for each other. We need to lift each other up and support each other, especially on those bad days. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I remember, yes, I definitely, I'm laughing because I had forgotten, but then now I remember because you always had this like such an infectious, positive spirit. You always were so creative. I remember your Mickey Mouse hat. Remember the
like Disney at the faculty, magic,
the magic at the faculty meetings and, you know, the awards and just your enthusiasm and the kids loved you, you know, and I was just like, no, you can't go, you know, like that would be, like you're needed here, you know, because especially when we were at West Shore, I mean, the school started in 98, maybe 99. Were you there that year?
Yeah, the opening started. Year? Yep.
Mm-hmm. What year was it? Was it
98?
So I came in 2000. So we were still a very new concept school. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a school of choice. You had to apply to get in. It was, there were none of the sports that most of the schools had with we had basketball, but not football and baseball. Mm-hmm. And so we were still in our infancy, you know, but I could see that it was going to become a great thing and we needed great teachers to stay, you know, and so I was really happy that you did stay on with us. And especially we were all doing national board. Didn't you do that with us?
Yes.
Like around that same time. And
yes.
And so, you know, I think I was mentoring. I was the first teacher, the first English teacher in the county that got national board certified. And I was pretty young because I did it in conjunction with my master's degree at that point.
Yikes.
I
That's taken
know.
on a lot.
I know. And I actually wrote my master's thesis on mostly the cons of national board certification, like, because so many teachers were discouraged from teaching as a result of not passing national boards. So I wrote my thesis, I did a statewide research on it, and there were so many excellent teachers, teachers that had been teacher of the year in their county, in their district, in, you know, different areas, and they didn't pass the test. And they were talking about getting out of education. And so I think because they took that one test so to heart. And then sometimes I would see other teachers that just were really good writers that passed. You know, they weren't necessarily the best teachers, but they were excellent writers. And so while I did pass, but and I appreciated the bonus, I really learned through that the importance of uplifting, you know, and that words do have an impact to our peers, and how we're judged by each other can be either motivational or discouraging, you know. And coming from a really long line of educators, that's what I grew up hearing about. That was the table talk, was education, you know. And the educators in my family, like my grandfather, he was a military fighter pilot for 30 years, and then he retired and taught fourth grade. And his parents had taught at an orphanage in Pennsylvania. And he actually had five sisters and one older brother. And he said he didn't want to live with his sisters in the house anymore. He wanted to go live in the all-boys orphanage where his parents taught. And so his parents let him go live in the orphanage where they taught. So my grandfather, we laugh, he grew up in an orphanage, but he wasn't an orphan. And his parents were teachers there, you know. So my mom was a teacher, you know, and so we kind of learned the strategies of how to last in a career that doesn't always have longevity due to burnout or issues like that. So, you know, that, yes, let's do this, you know, was like really important. So,
Well, a couple of
yeah.
things that you said were like about the one test and being discouraged by that. So think
Yeah.
about students, you know, that we're trying to prepare for that one end of the year test. And,
Right.
you know, so we can empathize with that. It doesn't define them. It doesn't make them or, you know, set
Right.
their path in life for the rest of their life and everything.
Yeah, I even had a student today. We were going over the FAST scores, and you know, this is the first time they've done the test three times in a year. Like they did it in August, they did it in January, and they did it just a couple weeks ago. And she dropped from a four to a one from January to now. And so obviously that was like a bad testing day or something happened because her pattern didn't show that. And she was crying. She was like really upset, you know, because this is a high school graduation requirement. And so I was trying to console her and I was giving her candy. I'm like, I bet you never had somebody giving you candy because you didn't pass something, you know, but that's important to recognize in schools that, you know, we can't put so much emphasis on one test or one result, you know, and to motivate each other to get through those lows when they happen, whether they're teachers or students.
Yeah, and you use the word uplift, and that's really critical that we lift each other up no matter where we are and always help each other, whether it's a student or whether it's you know, colleagues or other staff members at the school. We've
Oh,
had
yeah.
staff members who have been going through personal crises or health issues or whatever, and we've had to, you know, kind of come together. So that leads me to the idea of a school culture. And when I went to the district, I really, one of the things that I noticed very, very acutely was how when I visited different schools, the culture of the school was very different based on the people in the front office and based on the leadership at the school. And so that's really important. And I knew that was important when I started it at West Shore, and knew that we needed to have a school culture that was kind of rallied around lifting each other up. So I had the new teacher ceremony to welcome the new teachers and make them feel like they were a part of the school. And that's when I wore the
That
Mickey
was
Mouse
huge.
hat. And then we also had the Wildcat winners, which we could give to each other as kudos. Nowadays, digitally, they have kudo boards. I guess you could post on there. But still, just telling a colleague, like, thank you for taking my class because I had to go to the doctor. Or, thank you for helping me out with this student that I've been having trouble. Whatever it is, just acknowledging that and telling each other that it's uplifting and it keeps me from
Absolutely.
face planning and wanting to get out of the profession, like you said.
Yeah.
So.
I think right now the biggest kind of crisis in education is the pay. It really is a problem. And what something that my mom said that I thought was interesting is that when she was teaching, the jobs for women were so limited, and your most educated women became teachers. And then, you had teachers and nurses, and then you might have secretaries. So you had these really like high flyer women who got into education. Well, now a lot of our high flyer women are able to go into those corporate jobs that didn't really exist in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And the pay, a lot of the women aren't wanting to get married or have a double income necessarily to sustain themselves. So the pay has really kind of started to cripple, I think, our highest achieving young next generation from entering, and Florida is 48th, I believe, in the nation, not now for beginning teacher pay, but for overall longevity, it has it's 48th. We're not that far. So I don't really know. I'm hoping that we'll turn a corner here where they start to recognize that it is a professional career and give the pay incentives that would match more corporate. But again, we're not a profit for profit company, where a lot of like Harris and Grumman and everything else have those options different than a state funded. So morale, we've definitely got to have each other's backs, because if the pay isn't there and not having each other's positivity isn't there, that would really be a hindrance. So at least for sure, take charge and do the verbal morale lifter type of thing.
And that's the purpose for Teacher Tales. Like I told you, there's just so much disrespect for teachers now. And I think it's because people don't understand the life of a teacher. They think they do because they've gone to school, or they're acting from a place of, I don't know, a little bit of ego or revenge because they maybe didn't have a positive experience with a certain teacher and then they hate all school or whatever it is. But they don't truly know everything that a teacher goes through every day. And in the corporate world, you can go in and close your door and nobody knows what you're doing. You could be playing, I don't know, some sort of video game on your computer and nobody knows that. You can't do that in school. I mean, you're every minute of every day is filled. And also, teachers have to be very flexible and great problem solvers and very resilient. And not all jobs require that.
And it's especially like in high schools, where you might have 150 students a day, corporate life, like you said, you might be on your own, just kind of self-managing. So imagine 150 hormonal, people that you had to work with, and they don't necessarily always see the long-term significance, the children don't, of their actions. Here at West Shore, somebody wants them here. whether it's their parent or themselves, you know. So we are, I believe, sheltered a lot more than most traditional public schools are. But you think of most mainstream schools, they're like kind of legally bound to be there. So teachers definitely are in the trenches of society. And it's tough. You know, it's really, really tough because we also don't have the same social expectations that have historically gone on where the teachers were respected to the degree, you know, that they are. Most foreign countries have that reverence for teachers still. I don't really know what kind of happened in the United States where it, and it may be because we are a more materialistic kind of pay society, and they don't see the pay as equitable or high level, so they feel like that's not as respectful. You know, we look at celebrities can do all sorts of things wrong, but if they make a ton of money, they're kind of forgiven, you know, because of their wealth, you know. And so I think it's more a cultural aspect of our country than anything as far as how sometimes the attitude towards teachers, where in a lot of other countries, you say you're a teacher, it's like saying you're like the minister, you know, a preacher, somebody like really important, you know, in the community. So that's an American kind of challenge to teaching too,
It
that.
is. It is. And I think there's a little bit of a stereotype, which changed for a split second, like I said, when the pandemic started, that teachers are kind of like glorified babysitters. And some parents just look at that way, that they're sending their kid to
Yeah.
school and they don't have to, it's for babysitting. I don't know. But I mean, I've heard that perspective as well. But I mean, to give credit to all of the teachers at West Shore too, there are really great kids there. They want to be there, or their parents want them to be there.
Yeah.
But with that comes challenges because it has a
Right.
much higher level of expectations. And one of them is the senior project. And I wanted to talk about that because I feel strongly that if every school, I don't care whether they're a Title I school or they're a charter school or whatever kind of school they are, that all kids, when they get into their last couple of years of high school, to prepare them for the real world and to help them to learn more about who they are and what their strengths are, and not just say, well, you have this strength, you're really good in math, you should become a doctor, or you should become this or that. It's not just college ready, but also what we called the senior project, and I gave it the title of rite of passage. It is a y couple of years, starts in junior year, but it's definitely senior year, where they do research on something that they're really interested in. And it doesn't have to be academic. They could learn to like techniques for painting. They could build a surfboard. They could create a new video game. Lots of different things. They could hold an event for a fundraiser. They could coach a little league team, whatever it is, because that's what sustains us as adults beyond our career and beyond the job that we take our strengths to. So it is a lot of work. But it is also very rewarding. And so it's, I think that what is being done at West Shore and some other schools in our county is very valuable, but it also, when you raise the expectations for the kids, you raise the expectations for the teachers too. And I've never worked as hard as I did at West
Right.
Shore. So
Yeah. Yeah. I had some teacher friends when I first came over. I was like, oh, come to West Shore. You know, you'll, and they did not want to come because they were like, it's too much. You know, like it's, you're so much under a microscope at this school because we're literally like two teachers per grade level, you know. So when the data or the scores come out, it's you know. And it's difficult sometimes because of our ranking in the nation is so high, you know, and in the state to really be that singularly responsible for the data. But it's absolutely worth it because you actually get to teach, you know, like you're really getting to do your job and discipline isn't an issue like it can be, which is usually what stops teachers from being able to do their jobs, is they're putting out fires with discipline. Well, here you don't have to really put the fire out with discipline, but you're under the fire of, like, what's your data? What are your scores? What are your results? But like I said, 23 years of my career has been here, and it has flown by. I mean, flown by. I have really loved it, and don't want to go like anywhere else, as far as schools go,
But I mean, there are other things that, again, that culture, because there's a homeroom and it's not just the kids sit there. We have to work with them with like do personality evaluations and, what is your, what are your strengths? And, how can you, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits, to be a highly, and what are the things you're going to need, the skills and how to cope in college? And so we become not just a singular subject teacher, we become, a mentor, a coach, a hand-holding, almost relative that helps them get through all of this. And with those high stakes tests and with those higher expectations, there's a lot of anxiety. And there are some kids that really develop a lot of, mental health issues and stuff with that. And so we have to help them with that. And we can also develop some of those sometimes where we're just overwhelmed by things. And that's what happened to me when I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to leave the profession. So reaching out to somebody, or even sometimes teachers are too embarrassed to do that. And that's why I started the new teacher ceremony, because there was that teacher that Rita had hired to come over, teaching social studies, first year teachers, and the kids just ate her alive. And she just stayed isolated in her classroom and never said anything. So that's why, we have to reach out and check on each other every once in a while, and check on the kids.
I had Billy Knowles was my first principal, in a middle school. And I thought what he did was so interesting. And I don't know if principals really have ever thought of this. And he was like totally old school, good old boy, And so I went in as a first year teacher, and he gave me this beautiful schedule of like honors and, level classes. And usually those are the classes that were reserved for the teachers that had a lot more experience, like they had earned their right to have all the honors classes and the perfect schedule. And I kind of said to him, I was like, wow, I really like appreciate the schedule. And he said that as a principal, he had learned that the way to retain new teachers, beginning teachers, was to give them a great schedule. Like, don't give those new teachers the toughest classes or the most difficult, challenging ones, because he's like, you're just getting your feet like solid. I'm not going to pull the rug out from under you with a tough class. And a lot of principals and schools didn't really have that philosophy, because that older teachers felt they had kind of earned, which is true, those like kind of more high level classes. But I thought there was great wisdom in his kind of vision of how to treat beginning teachers.
I've seen that with a lot of teachers, and even with my daughter, where she changed schools and they gave her, all of the lowest kids and the most disciplined kids and stuff like that. So it that's great advice.
I was so appreciative of him. And I also was really blessed by that principal too, because, and I worked for him for about 6 or 7 years, and then he retired, and I came over to West Shore with Dr. Galbraith, who actually had been my assistant principal when I was in high school. So I had known, and her husband was my 6th grade PE teacher, but he also provided, and this is something, if any administrators watch this, kind of for them too, but he provided a intern and encouraged me to go to graduate school and said, I'm going to give you a senior intern, and then when she takes over, you can go study. while you're not in the classroom. And so I was really appreciative of that. Also, that helped me get through my graduate program, was his philosophy in supporting teachers to go beyond their 4-year degree and utilize the internship program to encourage the teachers in graduate school.
And I think another thing that's really important is going beyond test scores and going beyond data and looking at the teacher's strengths, looking at the teacher's life, accommodating the teachers that maybe do have daycare issues, that maybe do have some the elderly parents that they have to take care of or whatever it is. And I know it can create some little jealousy and animosity sometimes, but I think it would really be helpful if teachers would step back and look at it from a cultural and community building perspective of we're all in this together and we have to help each other. And if I need to sacrifice a little bit right now to help this person who's struggling with what is on their plate right now, then I will do it because it's not going to be forever and my time will come when I may need that. And so I need to give in order to receive. But with all the data and the test scores and all of the pressure and the negativity and the judgment and everything, I think it's causing many teachers to act out of character. And that's why I called, the whole thing spirit of teaching, because there's certain things that we should all share in the spirit of teaching. And that's, one of them, sympathy, or empathy or compassion or grace. Give somebody some grace. When I was at the district, I would have principals ask me to come in and observe a teacher, and then they'd be like, "I need evidence to be able to fire this teacher." And I'm like, "No, are you what? Like, you think this teacher's coming to school every day and saying, 'I'm going to do the worst job possible so I can get fired?' Something's going on. Just like with kids, sit down and let's talk. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. Give them another chance. Hold their hand. Give them some guidance, but don't just give up." And but hopefully things are going to be getting better. Hopefully stories like this and conversations like we've just had will be uplifting,
I know.
because we can get it through. We can get through it all if we have, colleagues and that become friends at school, and we have a school culture that realizes we're all in it together like a family, and we do what we need to do for each other.
Absolutely. And kind of a last thing sort of to say is that truly my best friends have been my coworkers, because you're right, like no one can really relate to you except for someone else who's like in that field to that degree. And so you do have to kind of open yourself up and get out of your classroom and be supportive of each other to sustain the longevity of the career. And like you said, lift each other up. When one's down, you pick the other one up, and vice versa. Because my goal when I went in was to be a lifer. It wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to do this till I find something else. It was to continue. And so, like I said, next year will be my 30th year, and a big part of that has been the friendships of not only the students, but the friendships too.
The friendships and the positivity. I mean, getting together with other teachers to have a negative griping session about students or other colleagues is not what we're talking about, which we see that happen a lot too. And
We usually
that
would
kind
make
of
those.
needs to stop.
No, we'd make the rules like you cannot talk about students, like anything else, but not kids, So that was the best rule, because then we'd talk about our weekends and projects and fun things, that kept everything going good,
Well, Adrian, thank you so much for being a guest here
Thank
today. I'm sure
you.
your story is going to really uplift teachers and help them put that next foot, take that next step forward, put their foot in front of them, and just keep going.
And you can do it. If I've done it, you can do it for sure. Anybody can do it.
Yeah. Well, your kids are very lucky to have you. And
Thank you.
I told my daughter, Krista, that I was talking to you today, and she's like, "I love Miss Jen. Tell her I said
I love
hello."
her. She's so awesome. She's awesome. That's
So,
great.
yeah. And that's it, the relationships that we build, for life, whether it's
Yes.
with our students or with each other. So, thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley. And I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.